This is the Frog for Life podcast. I'm your host, Rob Berline.
You know what's funny? I think it's the alumni base, period. I mean, say what you will, I've never met a TCU alum who is not loud and proud about the fact that they came to this school and they graduated from this school, because we're small but mighty. You know what I mean? I think, you know, you think about as a kid who grew up here, my entire school district, I was the only one who came to TCU. And so to think about now how much our platform has raised, thanks to the success of our athletics programs and of course launching the medical school. I love getting my magazine and keeping up with everything that's going on.
That is the voice of Dia Wall, TCU class of 2008. Dia will take us through her time as a journalist, starting with the Dallas Cowboys all the way to Kansas City, and now back to WFAA as a TV news anchor. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Frog for Life podcast. We have a renowned journalist with us today, Dia Wall, class of 2008. We're going to go through all her outstanding career accomplishments and why she is back with us here today in Dallas-Fort Worth. But thank you for joining us today, Dia.
Happy to be here. Happy to be here.
Well, you grew up around Dallas-Fort Worth before you came to TCU. So what was it in your upbringing and things that made you want to come to TCU?
So funny story, purple's my favorite color. I know that sounds really random. So when I was going through the list of schools that had purple, TCU comes to the top of the list. I was a freshman, I'll never forget. In the ninth grade, I went to Irving High School, not too far away. I sent an interest letter to the TCU admissions office. And most colleges and universities would be like, call us when you're a junior. TCU sent me the full package as a freshman in high school. And that just really made such an impression. And then you come on a visit, there are tulips in the spring. It's gorgeous out here. And I remember when I was doing the tour, I remember going to the library and they talked about the role with abolitionists years and years ago. Mm-hmm. So TCU's had just had such a long history of being progressive in a way, believing in equity. The campus is gorgeous. Did I mention the tulips? Yeah. And of course, the journalism school. I'm a huge fan of Bob Schieffer, always have been. And so the opportunity to study at the school he went to was really special.
And so you come on campus after getting to see it on a tour and the pretty tulips. What is did the hype live up to the reality?
Absolutely. I went to school with some really, really incredible journalists. I can honestly tell you, the editor of the Skiff, when I had my turn there, lives in Kansas City. We are still in touch. Tim Bella, somebody else I was in school with, just wrote Charles Barkley's autobiography. How wild is that? Another, Rashi Vats, is now an anchor in Houston. I mean, we went to J school with really some of the best journalists in the country who did a ton of different things. And so I definitely believe it lived up to the hype. Class was tough. I would say my favorite was probably ethics with the dearly departed Phil Record. That was a life-changing course for me. I had no idea what an ombudsman was or what their role was when I came here, but I think he just really taught me a lot about how to think. And of course, Dr. Tisdale, who's still crazy, but yeah.
So what was it about this media ethics class that was life-changing?
You know, there was a lot of debate, and I think that's healthy, especially if you're talking about journalism and in a newsroom. And Phil Record would pose challenging questions and ask us what we thought, and we would debate with our classmates, and it would give us an opportunity to think critically and also think about what we brought to the table and as far as our past experience and how that would inform how we told stories. And so that was really, really a great class. And I think of him and some of the lessons I learned there pretty often.
And aside from being a journalism student, you were also a well-rounded student, being involved in other activities. So tell us about your student experience aside from just being in the journalism school.
Man, I really enjoyed being a TCU ambassador. That was fun. I did it my freshman year, a really cool way to get to know the campus. I was a showgirl my first 2 years. Anybody who's a journalist knows you got to intern come junior year. So I'll never forget, you know, driving into the Alumni Center. I'm like, oh, I remember marching across the street and going to the stadium for game days. And I also loved Parent Weekend. I feel like that was one of my favorite memories, man. Just seeing all the parents come out and everybody's jovial. There's this big sea of purple and white. And I don't know, I just feel like there's such a family atmosphere here. The thing I've always loved about TCU, people are always surprised when I tell them how small we are in terms of enrollment, and that's by design. And I just feel like it was the perfect place for me. I mean, you can reach out and touch the chancellor. He's like walking around amongst us all the time. And so, that's some of the things that I really love being involved in.
And then everyone, you have to leave this, you know, the greatest place on earth. Although at times when you're going through journalism school, you're like, can I ever be done?
Can I be done?
Can I be done?
Can we finish?
But then you have to go get a real job. And most people be like, I have to go work, you know, do something I really like. Your first job out of school is with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
So how the heck does that come about? How do you get what is a lot of people's dream job right out of college?
You know what's so funny about that? I always say, be the hardest working person in the place. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the fastest. You don't even have to be the prettiest. None of that. But just be the hardest working person. I interned in both news and sports. And I remember I interned here locally at like the CW station. So I would do sports in the fall and then I would do news in the spring and learn how to edit. I would run cable. I would dub tapes, whatever it took to help the newsroom. Well, the Cowboys ended up having an opening. And this was all unbeknownst to me. They asked around from some of the local sports journalists and they said, hey, you should give Dia a shot. She's the hardest working person in the room, you know? And I remember going and they had a position. I did like a little mini faux audition thing, but I'm telling you, I learned so much in that place. I learned how to write. I learned how to interview. I learned how to edit. I learned how to storytell. It just really compounded on what I had already learned here.
And so what was your role with the Cowboys?
So I was a reporter. I got to produce some. I was a host. And because there's so much freedom in the off season for the team, I went and cataloged the archives. I mean, I'm telling you, I found ways to make myself useful so they couldn't get rid of me.
Oh, wow.
And then I ended up my last season with the team. I got to host Jerry Jones' show, so I got to interview him every week. And when I tell you that was a really, really great place to work, I'm still great friends with all of them. In fact, I'm doing an event at the Star for Black History Month next week.
Really?
And so, you know, very similar to the experience here at TCU, you're making lifelong bonds mm-hmm. and relationships. The same happens as you build your career. And so, no, it was a lot of hard work. It was so much fun, and I don't regret a single minute of it.
But then you decide you're going to leave the Cowboys, go into journalism, and to start, you know, at news stations, you have to kind of start from the bottom, work your way up. So talk about what it was that led you to decide that you wanted to transition, and then your journey that's led you from Sherman to Kansas City to back to back to Dallas now.
You know what? I absolutely knew that I wanted to be a journalist when I was about 9 years old. I mean, 60 Minutes, my mom still has VHS tapes where I would record 60 Minutes so I could watch the stories. And I just always have been someone who feels like the way that we build the best future and world possible is to be informed, to be challenged about our thoughts, about our preconceived notions, and all of those things. And I always felt like journalism is an opportunity for that. I love working for the Cowboys. It was so much fun. They're my favorite team. I'm a diehard fan. If you follow me, you already know this. But I wanted to cover news, and I wanted to cover stories. Dallas-Fort Worth is home of some of the most legendary people in this business. I won't name them all, but I mean, we all know there are some real giants in the business from Dallas-Fort Worth. And so I wanted that opportunity, but I graduated in 2008. We all know what the economy looked like mm-hmm. in 2008. And so it was hard. People who were in those entry-level news jobs just were not moving up. They just were not moving up. And so there was just kind of a wait-and-see period. So then when I got the opportunity, I went to Sherman, which was great. I was a weekend anchor there. And I remember my news director at the time said, give me a year. And I said, I'll give you a year. And I made it 10 months. And that was great. And then I went to Tyler, Texas, where I was a morning anchor and had a lot of fun. I think the thing I really missed, though, was being able to tell stories and being out in the street mm-hmm. and connecting with people. So then I left Tyler after about 3 years, and then I went to Kansas City. Did not know a soul there. My husband's a consultant, and I just remember thinking, it's sort of central, so he can get anywhere that he has to go for his job. And 9 years later, man, leaving, feeling like we have family there for life as well. And I just got the opportunity of a lifetime to come home and work for a legendary station in WFAA. I remember visiting and seeing Jason Whiteley. I was like, you know, these are people that I've watched who have helped me kind of shape and guide the way I want to be a storyteller and do the job. And so that's been pretty cool.
And so are you allowed to say what your role and when we can see you on WFAA?
Absolutely. So funny thing, I start on Monday. Not sure when I'll be on TV yet. I have no idea. We'll figure it out when I get there. But I'll be the 4 o'clock anchor weekdays with Jason Wheeler, who is incredible, so kind and so generous. And then I'll also get to do reporting and hopefully some special projects as well. I love long form. Don't forget, 60 Minutes is my show. It's my jam. And so I'm just really excited, man, to just get in. I always say, like, even when I came to visit, they're already a great station. They are already a legacy station. I just hope to get in there and do my part.
And in the mornings, you can see TCU alum Mark Istook.
Yes!
In the morning.
Yes, so it's so funny. I got to meet him when I came to visit, and we always laugh, like, how different the campus is. Although, I'm a little younger than Mark, so it doesn't look that different.
And there are quite a few journalists from TCU, as you said, in the newsroom. We have Mark Istook, Deborah Ferguson, yourself.
Yep.
It's littered throughout. So is there kind of a fraternity of TCU journalists around the DFW news station?
You know what's funny? I think it's the alumni base, period. Mm-hmm. I mean, say what you will, I've never met a TCU alum who is not loud and proud about the fact that they came to this school and they graduated from this school, because we're small but mighty. You know what I mean? I think, you know, you think about as a kid who grew up here, my entire school district, I was the only one who came to TCU. And so to think about now how much our platform has raised, thanks to the success of our athletics programs and, of course, launching the medical school. I love getting my magazine and keeping up with everything that's going on. And then now I also have friends who are on the board and friends who are I'm like, y'all are serious. I'm behind the eight ball here.
And so you said you love to be a reporter, a storyteller. What are some of your favorite stories that you've gotten to tell?
Oh, man, I got to do my very first long-form piece, which was about a half hour. And Kansas City had really, really bad race riots, some of the worst in the country, back in 1968. So I did a 50th anniversary look back. And at the time, I was a weekend anchor in Kansas City, and I remember going to my news director saying, hey, I really think, I mean, if you go back and look at the report, there's a lot of the same challenges. I think this would be a great anniversary and opportunity for the community to look back. And she looked at me and said, okay. And so, I mean, drawing just on all the experiences, man, and all the mentorship, I just put it together with some really great and talented journalists there in my newsroom that I just left. And the public library had partnered with us to host a screening for it. And it was free. People had to register online, though. And I will never forget, they called me like the day before the screening and said, Dia, we have a problem. And I'm like, what kind of problem? They said, well, capacity is 550 and we're already in overflow.
Wow.
So we had almost 700 people come out to watch journalism. And I just remember thinking, you know, all of us probably have those points where you wonder if what you do matters or if the community really connects. And so to have 700 people come out to watch journalism that I had a hand in was pretty special. I mean, that's one of the highlights. And then, of course, getting to cover Chiefs Super Bowls has been fun. Please, Lord, bless my Cowboys. Let me bring the luck back. That's been great, just to see a city that had not had a championship in 50 years win one. So there is hope for us here. But to see a city that hadn't had a championship in 50 years.
Did you have to cover the Taylor Swift mania this last fall?
I abstained. Here's the deal. I'm just not into celebrity news. That's like the one thing I'm not. You know, I am of the opinion, I do understand why it's a big deal for a lot of folks under duress. But my biggest thing was, man, let them live their lives. Let them do their thing. Let's talk about what they do on the field or what she's doing as an artist herself. So, yeah, I deferred a little bit.
And since 2008 to now, obviously technology and media has changed a ton. When we were in school, there was Facebook that came out, I think, our freshman year.
Yep.
But there was no Instagram, no tweeting, anything like that. So how is from a journalist perspective, have you seen the industry change so much in the last 15, 16 years?
I think you got to have a relationship with digital. Period. And it's not just social media, it's how you tell your stories digitally. I think initially people would think, oh, okay, I have my story that's going to be on TV at 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. I'll just take that script and put it online. People interact with your content and your work in a totally different way. Mm-hmm. So I think that's huge. And I think you have to determine what your voice is. People operate differently. My biggest thing, though, is I always have to think in terms of digitally, what this will read like, what things are a value add for people who are, you know, reading stories. And you can't fit everything into a story that's a minute and 15 seconds on TV. But digital gives you an opportunity to kind of stretch it out and give more context. And if people want to go in and look at some of the links and, you know, some of the information that you've used to put the piece together, I think it's helpful, especially now. Mm-hmm. The other thing with social media in particular, I think in a positive way, it's democratized reach. Mm-hmm. But that can be dangerous when it comes to important information around our safety, our elections, politics. I mean, all of those sorts of things. And so I think we just got to be, what's the word I want to use? Disciplined mm-hmm. news consumers, no matter what the platform is.
And this is an election year. And how have you found, has that changed kind of your role in terms of, oh, it's an election year and we have to kind of approach our jobs differently? Or is it election news the same as any other news?
I think it's the same as any other news. There's a lot of data out there that Americans now have a lot of interest in knowing more about elections, knowing more about election safety. And so I do think there's a little more process journalism involved now, I would say. Mm-hmm. People want to know how the meat is made, how the sausage is made, so to speak, right? So they want to see you making the calls. They want to see the documents you're looking at. They want to be able to feel like you're bringing them along in your news gathering process. So that, to me, I just have to remember to do those things, right? And to your point, I didn't realize this. I'm like, I mean, I graduated a while ago now. So yeah, the industry is evolving. But I feel like 2024 is no different than 2023. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's an election. You'll see more election coverage. But I think the standards and the way you approach covering mm-hmm. the races and the candidates hasn't changed.
And we said you're back here. Obviously, you're in the Alumni Center. You had family in DFW. So, you know, as beautiful as this campus is, you were obviously very busy in Kansas City. How often did you get a chance to come back to this wonderful campus while you were there?
Man, I think I've been back on campus maybe two or three times. Okay. I feel like, so my husband and I are both from here. Yep. Every time we were in town, it's like a mad dash to see all of our family and all of our friends. I've been back to homecoming once or twice, which is always fun. But I think that's what I'm most looking forward to. A lot of my friends that I graduated with are still really active. I am looking forward to kind of engaging more and getting to come to some of the alumni events on campus. That's really cool. But game day, always. Like, respectfully, we got to shout out to Jamie Dixon because TCU basketball was not looking like this when I was here. Woo!
There's no one at the games when we were in school.
None. Nobody. Except the women. Now, the women were good. Yeah. But, no, man, I can't wait to, like, go catch hoops. My husband graduated from University of Houston, and they're now in the Big 12.
Well, we see them this year.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to forcing him to sit on the TCU side with the good guys.
This campus has changed so much. You talk about, you know, you were a showgirl and you walked through the parking lot to get to the stadium, and now there's buildings in a blue that you have to to get through.
Yes.
And we tell that, you know, during Mountain West games, you could park in front of your dorm and walk to the second row of the stadium about 15 minutes beforehand. If you try to find a parking spot 15 minutes before the game, you might make it in by halftime.
Yes. Yes. It's a totally different environment. I hope Colby's been renovated since I lived there.
All the dorms, I believe, have been renovated. Some are co-ed, some are not. I believe Colby is still, I believe it's still single female, but I don't know. That's, you know, there's new things that change. All I know is that I was in Milton Daniel my freshman year.
Yep.
And it is now the honors dorm. It was not the honors dorm when I was there as a freshman. So, you know, things have changed a lot. There were just fire alarms getting pulled, people running across parking lots at 3 in the morning, and it was just a nightmare.
Yes.
So that's why they changed it. Because, as you said, with TCU success in athletics, academics and things, more people give to the cause and more things show up.
I love it.
It is.
I love it.
What would you say is your favorite TCU memory, whether it's on campus or events you've
done? Oh, so it's twofold. One of my very best friends, Jessica McNeil, also class of 2008, she was a cheerleader. And I remember, of course, back then, dance, cheer, some of the athletes had to be on campus like 3 or 4 weeks before mm-hmm. school started. And I remember she lived in Shirley and I lived in Colby. And we met and we saw each other basically across the lawn. I was like, hi. One of my first friends to this day, a lifelong friend, was a bridesmaid at my wedding, the full Monty. And we would go work out together. Mm-hmm. We would go work out together, make sure we got everything in. And this is wild to admit, but I would make gumbo in the dorms. I don't don't know how I worked that out. I still don't know how I did it. But I would make gumbo in the dorms, and we would sit and we would hang out. And honestly, those are some of my most favorite memories. We also had an incredible RA, two of them. Tracy, of course, was my RA, and she was phenomenal. I'm still really involved mm-hmm. here at TCU. And so, like, I just, the biggest thing I would tell people, enjoy these moments, because like they seem so insignificant at the mm-hmm. time, but like it's been almost 20 years and we still talk about, Dia, how are you making a gumbo in the dorm? I'm like, I have no idea, right? And just getting to hang out, you know, and get to know so many of the women, because Colby was all girl, mm-hmm. all women when I was here. And I just remember like those were some of the best moments. And we would work out and then we would go cook and we would talk about what was going on in class, and everybody's just doing so great now.
Yeah.
So that I think that's my favorite.
So of course everyone wants to know, now that you're back on campus, you're here in town, what's the first thing after you leave our building today? What's the first site you have to go see?
You know what's funny? I really want to go to the bookstore. I always got to pick up, you know, some fresh yeah. merch while I'm here. Yeah. And I really want to go to Fuzzy's, like the original.
Yeah.
So Fuzzy's has now become...
That's a worldwide chain almost.
A chain.
Yeah.
They have them in Kansas City,
yeah.
but I just feel like it tastes better
yep.
in Fort Worth.
And that is Dia Wall. Again, you can see her on weekdays at 4 o'clock at some point. She'll find out our schedule. Follow her on social media. She is everywhere. And we will look forward to seeing you on TV and on social media.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Frog for Life podcast. If you or a friend or family member would like to get in touch with us to share your story, please contact us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at TCU Alumni. We look forward to sharing our next story of how TCU alumni are changing the world.